Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hey folks, before we get started, here's a quick word about Home Title Lock. Deborah's home was stolen. And I don't mean thieves stole stuff. I mean scammers literally stole her home. The FBI calls home title theft one of the fastest growing white collar crimes. This story is why you need Home Title Lock. Deborah says criminals found the title to her home online and filed fraudulent documents claiming they owned it. Wait, it gets worse. Deborah also said she was evicted from her home and $85,000 in equity was gone. Nobody believes you can get your home stolen this easily. This is why you need Home Title Lock, because no insurance or bank protects your home from title theft. First things first, go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim and you don't know it yet. Then sign up to help protect the legal title to your home so you don't end up like Deborah. And to get you started, I got you 60 risk-free days of protection. Go to HomeTitleLock.com. 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 And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Mr. Speaker, members of Congress, distinguished citizens and fellow citizens, every year, by law and by custom, we meet here to threaten the world. The American flag stands for corporate scandals, recession, stock market declines, blackmail, terror, burning with hot irons, dripping acid on the skin, mutilation with electric drills, cutting out tongues, and rape. Our first goal is to show utter contempt for the environment. I have sent you a comprehensive energy plan to devastate communities, kill wildlife, and burn away millions of acres of treasured forests. This government is taking unprecedented measures to protect our people and defend our homeland. We've begun inoculating troops and first responders against ballistic airports. And this year, we must offer every child in America 3 nuclear missiles. And tonight I have a message for the people of Iraq. Go home and die. Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option.
Bob Zeska.
Ladies and gentlemen, take my advice. Pull down your pants and slide on the ice.
The Bob Zeska Show.
Remember, he was the normal one. Jeez. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, February 4, 2020. And this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com, the greatest soap ever. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1111, 1111 of the Trump crisis, day 136 of the impeachment of Donald Trump, 273 days until the 2020 presidential election. And let's bring him in. Sitting right over there, it's my friend Buzz Burbank. Hi, Buzz.
Hey, hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Where are we today? Is this Kansas City, Kansas, or Kansas City, Missouri? I do know that he's Bob, I'm Buzz, and we are the masterminds of the Iowa caucuses.
That's right.
Right here. You got us. Hey, and how much you want to bet Trump's on the phone with Ukraine right now, pressuring them to replace the word Biden with the words Buttigieg and Sanders? What do you think? Think that's possible?
I think so.
I got through Buttigieg. I screwed up Sanders. Sorry I was late again today. It's becoming a habit, I'm sorry to say. But today I got stopped by a cop, and I think he's a Republican. Because he told me that my driving was inappropriate and wrong, but it's just not a ticketable offense.
Damn it.
And breaking news as we go on the air today, Bob, in response to the chaos at the caucuses, American Airlines has now canceled all flights in and out of Iowa. So we need to contain that, I think.
I think so. Yeah, you know, I don't even know where to start, because we got the State of the Union tonight, Buzz. We've got Trump's acquittal in the Senate probably tomorrow. Yeah. But you're kind of freaking out about what happened in Iowa last night.
Well, it isn't just that. It's a symptom. It's a symptom, Bob. And I'm sick of this. Look at it. I mean, you started the list there. Mm-hmm. We have the coronavirus. We have the world on fire with rising oceans. We have a president now who is, and will be, as you have written in Salon.com, out of control. I mean, if you thought he was out of control before, now multiply that. And yes, the injustice of this lack of conviction due to a lack of witnesses, a lack of evidence, and we're just going to go forward with that. The Mueller thing didn't work out. He's impeached, and but for what that'll get us, I guess. and now this, the Democrats, I had somebody hit me up and say, "Oh, Buzz, good, you're on board. This is all about the Democrats trying to rig the election." No, that's a Republican and sometimes Sanders talking point.
Yeah,
that's not true. Mm-hmm. What I'm mortified about the Iowa caucus is that we screwed it up. This is the party. The Democratic Party is the party that's going to save the country from the scourge of Donald Trump, and we trip over our shoelaces coming out of the gate. I couldn't be more embarrassed or disheartened by the state of things. We're losing an impeachment conviction and credibility thanks to the Iowa caucuses all in 1 week. Yeah. That seems a bit much to me. And I today, normally I'm the cheery guy, and I help talk people off the ledge, and I help people look at the bright side. And there are still, I guess, a few bright sides left. But today, folks, it's your turn. Today, you need to talk me off the ledge now, because I'm exhausted.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing, though. It's a funny changeover from where we normally are on this show, where I'm usually the one who's like, bah! Yeah, that's usually my mood on a typical Tuesday show. And you're usually the one to talk me off of a ledge. But let's do this. Let's dive into Iowa. We'll come back around to the State of the Union maybe and the Trump acquittal here in just a second. But as far as this,
there are no flights in and out of Iowa. We're not going to Iowa.
I've got a copy of the app that they were using in Iowa to tally all the caucus votes. Yeah,
I think a lot of Americans would like to be familiar with that app.
Yeah, I'm going to grab my phone over here and I'm going to press the button here.
Oh, you have it. Good.
There it goes.
Oh, dear.
It's working. Oh, no, it's not working.
Was that? Did I?
I think it crashed.
Did I see a spring? I think I saw a spring.
I'm going to try.
No, it's just embarrassing is what it is.
It is. I'm going to try to reboot. Here, hang on.
All right. Yeah, that always works. Yeah, it's going to work now, folks.
When in doubt.
I have complete confidence. It's rebooted. That's right. Did you unplug it?
There we go. Oh, yeah, now it's starting.
Yeah, no.
Same.
No, still not.
There it goes. Took a shit again. Okay, well, in all seriousness, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been.
Could it?
Yeah, I think it could have been if they had gone ahead and reported the incomplete results as complete results.
I understand.
And then all of the networks would have jumped in and said, this person won and this person got second and third and so on. And this is how it all turned out. This is Iowa. Let's all move on to New Hampshire. That would have been a disaster.
Likewise, having to go back and correct themselves would have also been a disaster. I deal with facts for a living. I have no problem with getting it right whenever and wherever possible. That's not my concern. Yeah. My concern is about how this is being used by the Republicans, by many Sanders supporters. And this is just the kind of trouble we didn't need to get into at just the moment we didn't need to get into it.
Here's the thing. No one's talking about the Republican Iowa caucus from 2012, or at least if we rewind back to the 2012 primaries, no one really talked about that. No one really ruminated over how much of a disaster it was for the Republicans when, in fact,
completely forgotten.
It wasn't, suffice to say, Mitt Romney went on to lose that election, which doesn't. Yeah,
and they weren't trying to get a Democratic Trump out of the White House. This is a time at which we cannot afford these kind of blunders. And I saw somebody post on Twitter. No, he was trying to clarify. He was saying, no, it's not a conspiracy. It's not rigged. It hasn't been hacked. It isn't. It's just incompetence. Oh, well, hell, I feel a lot better now. Folks, it's only incompetence. Yeah. Vote Democratic. I'm really in rough shape today over this.
I'm trying to reassure you by bringing up the actual app. I guarantee I can get it to work here. Let's just try one
this
more
time. This
no,
will,
damn it.
God damn it.
I know. What the? Oh, crap.
I come to you to have my faith restored. And you give me this app.
I'm not helping. Let's look back at 2012 for God's sake. Rick Santorum ended up winning the popular vote. Rick Santorum by far got the most votes. Mitt Romney came in second. Ron Paul was third, but then Ron Paul ended up winning all of the delegates minus one, but wasn't declared the winner until days and days later. And they weren't rolling out any new technology in order to make this allegedly easier. They were using the old system that they had always used in the Iowa caucus on the Republican side, and they still fucked it up. So I think in that regard, in context, and also given the weirdness of the caucus process, which is a whole separate story, this isn't all that bad because I think Twitter loves melodrama. Cable news loves melodrama. I mean, obviously, you had a whole bank of anchors and analysts who were signed on to cover this thing last night on all of the networks and without any results. Where else do they have to go? But holy God, it's chaos. Oh, there it goes again. The stupid app. Yeah.
But that's the reality of it. That's the way it's being perceived. Yeah. Walk past a television set that's muted, that has a news channel on, and the headline, the banner across the bottom of the screen is caucus chaos, Iowa chaos. And so it doesn't matter if it's chaos or not chaos. It's an embarrassing screw up at a time we didn't need it.
Yeah.
But there's no sign of monkey business. In fact, quite the opposite of that. It's very transparent. But here's the thing about the caucus process. Republican, Democrat, regardless of state, most states, even the ones who still have caucuses, have now are putting their focus on their primaries instead. We're not electing eighth grade class president here with the chalkboards and the cards and there's got to be a better way to do that. It's just at this point, it's just silly, and it's the way it works is so convoluted. It's an interesting mix of voodoo and algebra. And
that's true.
I sort of understand voodoo, but algebra mystifies me.
Well, and I just still giggle at the word caucus because
sure.
I mean, what I wanted someone on MSNBC last night to say was the phrase caucus blockus. I think that would have defined. Yeah. I think that would have absolutely defined the situation there. Caucus blockus.
That's what we have. Although, and I love this, they really saved face today. The Iowa Democratic Party.
Yeah.
They really saved face today when they announced they'd have at least half the results by the close of business. So
good,
you know, there's that. Well, now, the upside of that is, and I know the reality of it, they are counting paper ballots.
Yes,
and those cards, and they're doing it by hand, and it takes time, and that's about getting it right because, as we both said, they don't want to, you know, have to go back and correct themselves later.
Yeah.
Certainly, it's important to get it right. But this is just an embarrassing screw up at the most inopportune time, the same week that Trump's going to gloat on national television again, and he's going to be acquitted by a corrupt United States Senate.
Well, the secret is here in an era in which hacking is rampant and technology has failed us time and time again when it comes to serious business like a vote. You don't leave shit up to an app. I'm sorry. You know, I understand that adding a layer of technology to things makes things more streamlined in best case scenarios. But all you got to do is look back at healthcare.gov and the rollout of that completely failed. And it was because the technology wasn't tested and wasn't run through its paces well enough, which, like any technology, must be done. And then something yesterday went haywire with that technology, but needless to say, they did have a backup plan in mind, which they, you know, they have paper records of everything, which they should have done in the first place. And that's the ultimate lesson here. You stick with pencils and paper and eyeballs,
right,
counting those pages, and that's the way you do it. Now, granted, with that kind of system in place, you're not going to get the immediate results that we expect from a network television broadcast, certainly not on cable.
That should be made clear up front. You know, we are an instant gratification society, so it would be good for us to know in advance, look, this is going to take a couple of days, but that's all right if you know going in.
The thing that's bugging me today, I think, is I believe that there's a lesson to be taken from the Republicans where no matter what happens, they're all in line going, hey, what's wrong here? There's nothing wrong here. I don't see what's the problem. Why is everyone screaming? And I think the Democrats could take a valuable lesson from that, because I think a lot of times Democrats, I don't know what it is about us. And I will include myself in this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All of us.
Democrats love to find the bad thing and then amplify that bad thing. When we screw up, we're the first ones to say we screwed up. And I think that bleeds its way out. I mean, certainly cable news loves to do the Dems in disarray thing. That's a preordained script. They've got that ready to go with just the Mad Libs blanks to fill in. Dems in disarray. Why? Fill in the blank. Oh, it's an app this time. Or, oh, it's Joe Biden said something weird. Or, oh, it's Nancy Pelosi can't get her caucus together in the House. You know, these are the things that tend to filter out through the cable news media.
There's a Latin phrase in the DNC, the Democratic National Committee's seal. It's a Latin phrase. It says, every silver cloud has a dark line.
Okay, so you get a bonus rim shot for the DNC.
Bonus joke.
So let's see. Andrew Yang said this. Andrew Yang tweeted this last night. He said, it might be helpful to have a president and government that understand technology so this sort of thing doesn't happen. Well, this is why presidential candidates should know something about how, you know,
things work.
Government works. Yeah. As Bradley Moss said on Twitter, it might be helpful if you understood that neither the president nor the federal government have anything to do with running state political primaries slash caucuses. Exactly. Yeah. So thank you, Bradley.
And even if he did, Andrew Yang, math whiz, boy math whiz, is going to run and put out every mathematical fire in America all by himself. So elect the math guy, and he'll come to your town and fix everything.
You know, I get the idea of creating Twitter-ready hashtags and memes that are actually also your slogan or whatever you want to put on a baseball cap. But the slogan for the Andrew Yang campaign just being the word math, it's like making the slogan for Andrew Yang, throat culture, colon x-ray. Why don't you make something that's truly unpleasant for people, like math typically is, for I would say a large number of people are just averse to the idea of math.
They, He couldn't get Make America Calculate Again on a cap.
So, of course, the as you, I'm sure you saw, Buzz, the Russians are sticking their noses in all of this with what I am pegging this DNC is corrupt hashtag and the mayor cheat hashtag.
Yes.
As both being products of Russia or Republicans or both Russia and Republicans, which is one of the same.
Exactly. They are exactly the same. Trump's tweets, he's doing their bidding constantly still.
Yeah.
That continues. And as I said, it'll get worse now, I think, with the acquittal. I'm not the only one who thinks so. That's not just pessimism. That's the conclusion of a lot of scholars and observers, much wiser than I. That's they help form my opinions, my understandings of how things are. And, Trump speaks for Russia. That's the president. That's who's in charge now. Russia is A-OK with nearly half of America.
What did you think of Pete Buttigieg coming out and saying, basically declaring victory last night prematurely?
I'm glad you asked, because this just came in. Also, Pete Buttigieg just claimed victory in New Hampshire. So that primary is a week away. He's already raced ahead with that one.
Right, I'm not surprised. But
I don't blame any of the candidates. You know, Klobuchar claimed a kind of victory. Sanders expressed his confidence. I don't think it's unusual or even wrong for a candidate to say, the results aren't in yet, but kind of looks like I won. If he's wrong, it'll be forgotten.
That's right.
And if she's right, she advances. I don't have any harm with that. The two questions I would ask you, Bob, are the questions I keep seeing repeated on cable news today, and that is, should we do away with caucuses altogether? That's question number one, and I'll tack onto that. The second question is, should Iowa stop being the first?
I would say, and I'm going to be a little teeny tiny bit controversial on this. I'm going to say,
okay, good.
I think we should keep caucuses. If states want to do a caucus, keep the goddamn caucus. Just don't add another layer of complexity to it by adding apps and other trickery in there.
Hashtag math.
That's right. Thank you, Andrew Yang. what was the second one? Should Iowa continue to be the first?
No.
I think there are many states that are much more representative of Democratic values and Democratic issues. The big tent nature of the Democratic Party, Iowa just doesn't have it.
I have to jump in here and say I love Iowa. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've had a great time there. I met wonderful people there. I have a lot of friends in Iowa. You go ahead and do your thing, but you just probably shouldn't be first.
Yeah, no.
For exactly the reasons that Bob gave. We welcome you to the party, but maybe step back in the line a little bit.
Yeah, you're exactly right with that. Again, a state like South Carolina might be a better way to start. Nevada might be a better place to start if we want to start with a caucus again. Just move everything to Nevada. I think that's a better option.
Preferably somewhere that's more representative. I heard Chris Van Hollen, I believe, pitching Maryland as the first one because it's he describes it as kind of a miniature America in terms of its political and ethnic mix. I think you need a state that represents all kinds of people, a much broader range of people to have a voice and see what that group of people says. I think, and so that would be another example of a state that could serve that function.
Mm-hmm. And we could actually do it right here at my house. So if we move it to Maryland and
rigged, rigged, hashtag rigged.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here's the ultimate upside. Here's what you can rest assured knowing, Buzz.
Right.
In the debacle known as the 2020 Iowa Democratic Caucus, no one's going to be talking about this tomorrow. As of this time tomorrow, we're going to basically forget that the
it'll fade
the app
fade,
thing even happened because it's going to be State of the Union. It's going to be Trump's acquittal. It'll be all varieties. If the fire hose of news has taught us anything, I wouldn't be surprised if by the time the show is over, no one's talking about Iowa anymore.
I appreciate your enthusiasm. I'm gonna pick a week from today. I'm gonna pick the New Hampshire primary as when the talk ends, because I actually think the talk about this is going to continue for several days, despite all the other crap that's going on around us.
Well, already the New Hampshire precincts are distributing abacuses to make sure they have it exactly right. They're going fully old school. They're just, I've got one of the abacuses here. I'm going to show you. It's it actually, of course, if you just slide the beads across the little wire thing, yeah, just move all the beads over there. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. Right. See, it's that easy. Cool. That's the sound, as opposed to the app, which is just this. I mean, I think I prefer the abacus.
I love you, Iowa, but you had one job.
Yeah.
You had one job, Iowa. This was, and you've been rehearsing, you've been working on this particular system for 4 years.
Yep.
What happened? Why did you have to do this?
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Ultimately, I think this was a big fuck up, but I don't think it's getting inflated beyond where it should be paid.
I suppose. Yeah. I don't mean to contribute to that. And I worry about what I posted online, especially in light of one of the responses I saw to it. That was not my intention. And I think I've made myself clear that this is just all this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's an embarrassing incompetence at a time we need to be proving competence and confidence and forward movement. Mm-hmm. Tripping over your shoelaces coming out of the gate is not confidence inspiring.
Well, Donald Trump Jr. tweeted this a couple hours ago. He said, rigging ain't easy. And Donald Trump Jr. would know.
He should know. Yeah, yeah. Ask any rhino he's shot.
As you said before, Trump Jr., all of the Republicans on the Trump side are screaming about this and going, ha, 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 see, you stupid idiots screwed up.
I know. That's the worst. And that's another reason I'm so angry about this screw up, is because it is handed on a silver platter opportunity for Putin and for the Trump family and for other Republicans to show us as incompetent. And we're not really in a position right now to deny that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we could at least make a big deal, though, over the fact that the Trump Republican Party canceled a whole bunch of their primaries because they're afraid that their little weak, whiny incumbent is going to be humiliated by Joe Walsh and whoever else.
That will not get the notice or the media play that this is getting. And although it may not last, I think it will be remembered. I think it will come up again. Yeah. This is the kind of thing Trump will hold on to. I don't know. I'm very, very sad about this. Like I said, it's the wrong time for this to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not, oh God, not this week of all weeks, when Adam Schiff gave us reason to hold our heads high in his closing arguments at the impeachment trial yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
We would have so much to be proud of. And so we're ready to take on America. Oops. You know, and
once again, what lent legitimacy to the clusterfuck is when we Democrats started saying, hey, look at that clusterfuck. If it was just Trump Jr. And all the usual suspects on the Republican side saying it would just circulate in that fishbowl. But because we're also saying it takes on a much more legitimate approach. It's like when Trump supporters criticize Trump, we go, oh, hey, look at that. Megyn Kelly said something nasty about Trump. I can't believe that. And suddenly it takes on this sense of legitimacy. And we're also giving this fuck up a sense of legitimacy from the outside looking in.
I only commented on social media about this after I had already seen that it was a viral topic and that a lot of misinformation was being spread out there, whether I contributed to this or not. So I hardly feel that I made things worse. I'd like to think I made things better. There's no avoiding, like I said, walking past the TV and seeing Iowa chaos, caucus chaos, as banner headlines. There, you can't pretend it didn't happen. It did. It's embarrassing. We'll recover, I think, maybe.
Well, the other thing is that, and I think I mentioned this once before, it bears repeating, though, is that the danger arises when cable news hosts are planning to talk about subject A, and subject A doesn't happen. And then they've got all of these hours and hours of coverage to fill contractually, and they don't have anything else to say. So suddenly it's really, really easy to land on, holy shit, Dems in disarray. And so that's, I think, the source of everything that we're seeing today.
I don't think he meant any harm, but it's Ted Turner's fault. You know, he's the father of the 24-hour cable news network. And his intention was to provide news and to have a big popular national network, but it was there to provide news. And that's just gone horribly awry for one reason. The reason you just stated is you've got to keep the needle moving, as we said in radio.
Right. Yeah.
You've got to keep the programming going, whether you have anything to say or not.
That's right.
Well, that was some weird shit.
Yeah, it was some weird shit, exactly. Hillary. The whole Iowa thing was weird. But here's the thing, though. With regard to cable news, I think so much of what we all typically criticize when it comes, when we talk about the media just as this giant umbrella term, which I think is completely inaccurate to say, when we talk about the media, what we're most often talking about, I think, as far as criticism goes, is cable news specifically.
Yes.
And
yes,
Ted Turner birthed this whole new crisis in American politics, and that is filling 24 hours worth of news
when
we're only really allowed to talk about in that 24 hours the things that people want to hear. So you're not going to hear on 24-hour cable news an in-depth 2-hour probe into the climate crisis. We're not going to get some sort of examination of gerrymandering and reapportionment. What we're going to get is, holy fuck, Dems in disarray. Look at that app. Oh my God, the app is such a disaster.
It's top 40 news. It's all the same records over and over again.
That's exactly the best way to put it. That's exactly right.
Give us 30 minutes and we'll give you the world and some commercials.
That's right. If you have a crisis at 7:20, make sure to repeat it again at 8:20 and 9:20.
Oh yeah. And everything is breaking news. And even I've just gotten lazy and given up at this point. Everything is breaking news now. Everything, anything that happens, it's breaking news.
Yes,
I try to layer my online updates. I have they're sort of in levels, flash, bulletin, breaking news update, and I try to sort of like an alert system, color coding there for that. I have caught myself posting something as breaking news when it's really at best an update. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of seeing the phrase breaking news.
Yeah. The thing is, when everything is breaking news, then nothing is breaking news.
Exactly. Exactly, Alice Cooper.
Right, right. I don't think anyone really even understands what breaking news actually means. It's just, it's breaking. No. It's breaking. It's coming. Yeah. It's now we're going to read this important news story that's here that's now breaking.
When news breaks, breaking news.
Right, right.
Exactly, yeah. Well, the word I like is developing.
Ah, there you go. That's even better.
I like that.
Okay, so now imagine this Valentine's Day story is about you. Try to envision this. You're parked outside the restaurant where you're meeting your date in 10 minutes. Glancing in the mirror, you notice all those wrinkles and large under-eye bags, and I'm so sorry for you. You rummage through your bag thinking, where's your secret weapon? And there it is, staring right at your face, Plexiderm in your bag. You apply the clear serum under your eyes, and boom, 2 minutes later, you start seeing the under-eye bags and wrinkles disappearing right there in your rearview mirror.
I'm soaking in it.
Me too. It's perfect with all those fine lines on my thighs, I guess. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift you deserve for yourself. Go to triplexiderm.com enter the code VOICES. That is the new code for Plexiderm. VOICES, the traditional spelling of VOICES, V-O-I-C-E-S, for 50% off plus an extra $10 off. Again, enter VOICES at triplexiderm.com to get 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292, mentioning the code VOICES. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee, so to get my discount, enter VOICES at triplexiderm.com. Again, that is triplexiderm.com.
Deborah's home was stolen. No, I don't mean thieves stole stuff. I mean scammers literally stole her home. The FBI calls title theft one of the fastest growing white-collar crimes. And this story is why you need Home Title Lock. Deborah says criminals found the title to our home online and filed fraudulent documents claiming they owned our home. Wait, it gets worse. Deborah goes on to say, I was evicted from my own home and $85,000 in equity, gone. Nobody believes you can get your home stolen this easily. This is why you need Home Title Lock, because no insurance or bank protects your home from title theft. First things first, go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if your home's title has been tampered with. You need to protect the legal title to your home so you don't end up like Deborah. Go to HomeTitleLock.com now for 60 risk-free days of protection. Again, that's HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
The Bob Seska Show.
You made a fool of me, but them broken dreams have got to end. Hey woman, you got the blues, 'cause you ain't got no.
This is my friend Mike Farley from the Mike Farley Band and covering ELO right there, An Evil Woman. This is from his album Where We Stand. God, I love it. And I also, every time I play Mike Farley's music, I got to thank Mike Farley, because so many of the bands that we play here on the show, Mike Farley has introduced us to them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just been he's been amazing. He manages a bunch of bands, and now I get to play a lot of those bands here on the show. So thank you to Mike Farley for that.
I would like to thank Mike for providing this great music. I really like this. This does not suck.
Yeah, it's such a great cover. Yeah, in fact, on the Indie Music Countdown on Sunday, so many covers that we played on the show. It was just almost a theme show insofar as maybe a half a dozen cover versions by indie artists of bands you might know, artists you might know. Alanis Morissette, Journey was in there, Bonnie Raitt. I mean, quite a variety. BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your music. Also, Indie Music Countdown, as I said, on Sunday. We just posted a brand new one about 48 hours ago. So make sure to go to Bob Seska Show everywhere you get your podcast. Get the Indie Music Countdown. Also, the Indie Music Countdown is available as its own a channel, or whatever the hell you want to call it, on all those podcast platforms. So
yeah,
Indie Music Countdown, thank you so much for listening to that. You know, I it was insane. Yeah. I got maybe 25 minutes 30 minutes into recording the Indie Music Countdown on Sunday, only to realize that I recorded it in mono. I was recording in mono instead of stereo, and because I like to present the full mix the way the musicians originally intended, and so I like to present in stereo, and I forgot. God, so I had to start all over again. That was that was not fun.
It was your best rehearsal ever.
Thank you so much. Thank you for being so kind.
By the way, if I've learned anything on today's show, it's don't be like Deborah.
Don't be like Deborah. Make sure you get Home Title Lock to avoid being Deborah.
And before we go on, can I give you my theory briefly on music?
Yes, please.
It is we're out of songs. There are only... It's math. There are only eight notes.
Yeah.
Mathematically, there are only so many combinations of those notes, and some of them are unpleasant. So there's a limit to the number of possible melodies.
Yeah,
which I
that's
think,
true.
To some degree, may explain the emergence of hip hop music, which is not a bad thing. It's a way to keep the music and the poetry alive, whether we've run out of tunes or not. And that also explains sampling, I think, to a large to a large extent. So that's it. Hashtag math.
The thing that shocks me the most, though, is that I don't think there's any rock music in the top 40 anymore. I think that is completely gone. I don't know exactly when it disappeared. I guess maybe when Foo Fighters releases another album, they might be in the top 40. But, I mean, beyond that, I don't really see it happening. It is really a lot of hip-hop and, yeah.
I got a number of great TV services or music services on my TV, which feeds my sort of audio system. And I'm finding I really like the alternative rock stations, and there are a variety of them. And if you listen to a current one, you basically are listening to top 40 in that genre. And that's what you're going to find now is music is a little more segregated in terms of by genre.
Yeah.
So you'll find a country station or a pop station or an alternative station. And when you get there, it's kind of the same box of records, you know, and they new ones come in and some drop off. But I think in that sense, top 40 lives in that sort of segregated world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. I mean, I would love to hear some more alternative music, some more rock music in the top 40. I don't think it's going to happen.
It got very confusing and difficult. I remember working at a top 40 station in the 70s and, you know, you had to be careful not to play Led Zeppelin next to Dolly Parton because they would both
They
would both be in the top 40.
Well, I remember being at a top 40, working at a top 40 radio station in the 90s, in the middle of the late 90s. And we would do exactly that. For some reason, the playlist would back up like some angry song by Alanis Morissette with Oasis and then Ace of Base. I mean, it was just a weird conglomerate. The 90s were just fucked up as far as music goes. But yeah, if you want all the greatest music, make sure you stick with me here on the show. Stick with us.
Do that. The music's incredible, like you just heard. Bob does a great job and knows stuff. You'll learn about the music as you go, and it's a highly enjoyable show. You can listen to them back to back to back and have just music all day.
So do you think tonight at the State of the Union, I don't want to talk about the State of the Union too much because most people are going to be hearing this show after they've already heard the State of the Union, but I think it's going to be Donald Trump in teleprompter mode. I don't think we've never actually seen Donald Trump go all rally pseudoephedrine Trump during a State of the Union. I think he sticks pretty closely to the teleprompters, especially when he's on national TV in front of a joint session of Congress. So I don't think it's going to be anything particularly crazy as far as spontaneity goes. I think the crazy is all going to be well scripted by ghouls like Stephen Miller and his usual, you know, array of freaks and weirdos.
There is the Donald J. Trump factor. I mean, he's been known to wander off script as well. And he may be really feeling his oats.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch this thing tonight, but I know I have to.
I know.
What I'm also watching for is the Democratic response. Probably childish, but if I were in a position to whip the Democratic caucus, everyone would turn their chairs as to be facing left as opposed to forward. Turning back is too childish.
I think so.
Side-sitting is the answer here, as Larry David would say. I think the answer here is side-sitting. But I know that at least one lawmaker and perhaps other Democrats will not be in attendance tonight for this speech. I wouldn't mind if there was a boycott. I wouldn't mind if there was some kind of protest. I know that the Democrats are very restrained and respectful of protocol, so they're not inclined to do anything out of line. But when I remember someone shouting liar at Obama, I wonder if there will be a rogue tonight who will shout something out or if there will be boos to certain things that he will say and announce. And sometimes you can be insulting without being direct, and that would be the part that Stephen Miller wrote. So, I guess there are things to see tonight. I used to say, no, you're an American, you're a citizen, you need to watch, you need to hear this. I don't care what you do tonight. I'll watch it. I'll watch it. I'll cover it. Others will cover it. You go do something pleasant, and remember that I died for our sins. That's all I ask.
Oh, man. Well, you know, stick around. Maybe the Democratic response after the this little speech that one of the handpicked Democrats delivers after.
I don't know. Yeah. And this is, can sometimes be disheartening, too, because if it's pre-taped, well, I'm just brokenhearted about that. That's not a response. If you taped it yesterday, it isn't a response to what the president just said.
Yeah, but they might accidentally record it in mono instead of stereo, and then they'd have to start all over again. See?
Go back and do it again. There's going to be a recount. They'll count the ballots by hand.
Oh, shit. Yeah, here's the... Oh, that's not the Democratic response at all. No, don't make that. Do not do this. Do not use an app for the Democratic response tonight. In fact, you know, I was thinking, the Democratic response, all it needs to be, and if I was chosen, and they never choose me, I wish one of these years they would actually choose me to deliver
the response. I will start a petition for that.
Thank you, at long last. You know what I would do, in all seriousness? I would read the goddamn articles of impeachment. I would read every word of those articles of impeachment, because not only are they beautifully written, but they are the most serious indictment of Donald Trump's abuses of power that I think I've ever read. And so I think that would be a great launching off point for a really effective speech, because even now, I would wager that a lot of the people who are going to watch the State of the Union tonight haven't heard or haven't seen the articles of impeachment. Maybe they tuned in a little bit for the trial, but they didn't hear. Yeah, they didn't hear that beautiful prose in those articles, which I think is still one of the great underrated works of government writing I have ever heard.
Don't you think Schiff had a lot to do with that? To do with the prose of it. He and perhaps you've heard this before. He wanted to be a scriptwriter. He wanted to be a screenwriter originally.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he has a tendency toward that. His speech yesterday, again, magnificent. Historically important. This will read well in the history books.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see what his future holds or what people have in mind for him.
Yeah. Well, the other reason that I'm getting irritated with a lot of the concern trolling coming from the Trump side with regard to Iowa last night is that it was less than 48 hours ago when Trump thought Kansas City, Missouri, where the Chiefs are based, was actually in the state of Kansas. And now, granted, there is a Kansas City on the Kansas side, but the Chiefs franchise identifies with the Missouri side.
I'm going to have to call you on that. I don't know. I don't think that. I think Arrowhead Stadium is in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yes.
I think there are a near equal number of fans in both states. Although Kansas City, Kansas is a little less than half the size of Kansas City, Missouri, it is surrounded by suburbs. Certainly many, if not most, of the license plate tags in the parking lot at Arrowhead Stadium are Kansas tags. So here's my point. I'm not defending Trump. Of course he's an idiot. And of course that was an idiotic thing to tweet.
Yeah.
But for liberals, progressives to jump in and go, oh, we got him this time. You know what? Stick to the important stuff and let this crap slide. I think when he stumbles in a speech, when he can't pronounce words and it appears he's having the effects of drugs or a stroke, that's worth writing about. That's worth talking about. Putting children in cages, that's worth talking about. Not this. I mean, we already know he's an idiot. If you're going to seize upon something, seize upon something important. Choose your battles. Otherwise, if you don't, you lose credibility. You begin to look like somebody who will argue over every little thing. So choose your battles. That's all I would say.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, on one hand, I absolutely sympathize with your point. On the other hand, it does lump into everything that we've observed so far. And I don't think anyone's making except for the fact that we're talking about it now.
But liberals, and it was politically unwise of liberals to do that, at least in terms of Kansas. And let's talk about why Trump tweeted Missouri or tweeted Kansas instead of Missouri because he needs to win Kansas back. He's losing Kansas to the Democrats. Mm. He's got Ed. Missouri's in his back pocket. He's not worried about Missouri. He thought he saw a chance to appeal to Kansas. And the liberal response to that was, there's no such thing as Kansas City, Kansas. Well, of course there is. Don't be an idiot. My wife is from there.
Yeah.
You know, and it is insulting. It is insulting for liberals to pretend that Kansas City, Kansas doesn't exist, even if it is smaller, because, again, statewide, the states are about equal in the number of Kansas City Chiefs fans.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I have to say about that.
I kind of thought, and I'm not a sports guy.
No, neither am I.
You know what? I probably would have made the same mistake myself, quite honestly.
Too. Well, no, I'm from there.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that's true. But I kind of chalked it up to being similar to the fact that people from Connecticut and New Jersey also identify with the New York Giants and that the New York Giants. I mean, it all gets very confusing with these NFL teams because aren't the Giants based in New Jersey, but they're called New York Giants?
Because I'm like you, I don't actually know. I mean, I know it's something convoluted like that. It's set up in a way similar to the Iowa caucuses. But the difference here is there are two Kansas cities. It's a tale of two Kansas cities. And I shared with a few people on Facebook this week my memory of a 1939 movie. I wasn't in the theater. I've seen it recently.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I watch it regularly. 1939 film that includes W.C. Fields. And it's an interesting movie. It's a fun movie. It contains all the stars of the day, and they're all arriving in Tokyo for a convention at which will be unveiled a new product, Radio with Pictures.
Yeah.
This was pre-television. And so W.C. Fields lands his plane in Tokyo, throws open the cockpit, throws out some empties, and shouts to the people below, is this Kansas City, Kansas or Kansas City, Missouri? And of course, it's Tokyo. Yeah.
All right. Hey, little classic comedy.
There you
here
go.
For the
film history. A little film history for you.
Well, I just can't believe the deep state put Kansas City in Missouri just to embarrass Trump. That's one of my favorite jokes about that.
Well, it is hilarious that he got caught in this. The response, the liberal response to this insulted the people of Kansas. And I think that was a mistake, especially since that's the state Trump's trying to win back.
Yeah.
You just helped hand him back Kansas just when it was almost blue. And, you know, maybe it still will be. But this doesn't help. You're not helping. And it would help, I think, more if you focused on stuff like kids in cages.
Are there a lot of Kansans who are pissed off about this? I mean, outside of you? I mean, I'm just curious.
I'm speaking on behalf of the entire state. Okay. The entire Sunflower State. Rock Chalk Jayhawks.
All right, gotcha. Well, meanwhile, Donald Trump mocked a conductor's hand gestures and relentlessly fidgeted during the national anthem at the Mar-a-Lago Super Bowl party.
Yeah, don't you just want to slap him and then just keep slapping him?
Yeah, yeah. It's like something Stillwell from A League of Their Own would do. You know, the little boy in A League of Their Own, the spoiled little rich kid who is going around saying, you're gonna lose. That's the kind of shit that Donald Trump does on a daily basis.
Yes.
He just can't stop fidgeting and acting like an ass and trying to be the center of attention no matter what happens. So he's doing that fake conductor conducting thing with his arms, waving his arms around. It's like, you know what? It's like that old Dana Carvey stand-up bit where he talks about how his kids will just be suddenly silly and they'll just walk into the room and go, and then just walk out of the room. And that's exactly, Donald Trump cannot control his impulses. I know, breaking news. There's another bit of breaking news
still for you. He's still the biggest bully in the sixth grade.
That's right. 100%. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Come back with more show right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
I'm stuck.
Yeah, this is I Hate You, Just Kidding. It's the name of the band. The song is called I Hope Someone Up There Loves Me. It's from their Constellations album. Second song we've played here on the show from I Hate You, Just Kidding. It's my favorite band name. Favorite band name next to Stop Calling Me Frank. I also like that band name, too. Okay, so you can expect tonight during the State of the Union that Donald Trump is going to be screaming and patting himself on the back about the Obama economy that he has hitched his wagon to.
Yeah, the question is, will he be, you know, do it somberly or will he do it wildly?
Yeah.
Somber, so somber.
I think it's going to be somber. I think it's going to be somber Trump. He may not be able to control himself on a couple of occasions where he might throw in a word or two. Apparently, the word is he's not going to mention impeachment at all, which gives me the impression that he's just not going to go crazy, as some are expecting tonight.
I don't know. But you can't know. Just can't know.
Well, he's certainly not going to mention that Chapter 12 family farm bankruptcies in 2019 increased by nearly 20%. He's not going to mention that. He's not going to mention that the GDP is worse than it was in the late 70s. He's not going to mention that manufacturing is in recession. He's not going to mention that there's a $1 trillion federal budget deficit and that his tax cuts did not work at all. I think we all know what to expect tonight. In fact, you don't have to watch it. It's not even homework. Don't worry about your homework tonight, kids.
I was hoping that was to me.
Don't worry about your homework tonight, Buzz Burbank. That's just revised.
That is such a relief.
Yes. There's still an impeachment.
If you have any doubt, it's going to take him out, Ukraine.
Well, it's not going to take him out. He's going to be acquitted. But you know what? It's just an acquittal. It is not a declaration of innocence. That's not how it works, even though he's going to frame it that way. And he's certainly going to run with this. He's certainly going to use this as another layer of invincibility so that he can continue to cheat in the election. That process with Ukraine is probably going to continue. He's probably going to unleash some new scams to help himself win in the November election. But meanwhile, Joni Ernst keeps saying things that she should probably not be saying. She warned Joe Biden that the impeachment of Joe Biden will begin the day after he wins. And so not only is she forecasting a partisan retaliatory impeachment against Joe Biden, but then she's suggesting that Joe Biden is probably going to win. I mean, that's probably you're a Trump Republican, you don't frame your argument in a way that puts Joe Biden in the White House next year. That's probably not a good idea. I think Joni Ernst might not be the brightest member of the Republican caucus. Well, what do you think?
Show me one.
Yeah. Yeah. So, meanwhile, Joe Manchin has raised the possibility of a censure. We'll wait and see if
blah, blah.
Moscow Mitch does anything about that, which is
Republicans are already rejecting that idea.
Yeah, no.
The chances, one lawmaker said the chances are zero.
Yeah, yeah. Their solution is maybe, if you're lucky, a firm talking to.
And they're not even going to go with that. No, that would be... something you said inspired me. A trial without witnesses leads to an acquittal without exoneration.
Well, I mean, that's the utter shame about all of this is that the Republican argument is basically this. The president is unindictable. The president is also unimpeachable. That makes the president an imperial president. That makes him a totalitarian dictator who is free of any form of accountability whatsoever, minus the election. But Donald Trump's taking care of that, too, by rigging the election, by cheating.
What could possibly go wrong?
Jesus Christ. It just gets worse and worse.
And he is emboldened now by this. Yeah. Congress has signed off. The Senate, the Republican-led Senate, has signed off on whatever he wants to do. The Constitution, he believes, says he can do whatever he wants to do. And that is what we're going to see now, because this is ending the way that it is.
I mean, what would happen if he stepped out tomorrow onto Fifth Avenue and shot a guy in the face? I mean, what if he did the thing that he has joked about in the past? I mean, what if he actually did it? There would be no form of accountability whatsoever. He can't be indicted. He can't be impeached. The American presidency is no longer held accountable by the rule of law.
Congress has always been a check and balance on the president in our government. Now it's an extension of the executive branch, just as it is in dictatorship.
That's right.
Authoritarianism has just arrived in the United States.
You know what? I don't know what the final upshot is going to be. Is there the possibility of a pendulum swing? I guess there is. There needs to be will for it, though. And it's not just, well, let's get a Democrat in the White House and see what happens. I think get a Democrat in the White House and then put together a slate of post-Trump reforms that make sure that this bullshit can't happen again. And even if it means handcuffing the extent of the power base for the next Democratic president, fine. There needs to be some sort of at least moderate sacrifice on behalf of the next president, hopefully a Democrat, in order to get us there. But what we know is that the presidency is now out of control. It is a runaway train. There is no way to restrain it. Possible that the election can do it. But again, we don't know if this election is going to be on the level. Our election integrity is completely up for grabs now. So even that is an avenue that's blocked for accountability against the president, which is
if we can succeed against Trump in this 2020 race, then there's a chance, I think, a real chance for those reforms. They certainly did happen after Watergate, although I see the similarities between the two cases growing wider, apart every day. I read an excellent article this week to something you just said, and I'm sorry, I don't remember who wrote it or in which paper, the Post or the New York Times or the Washington Post. But it listed some of the sort of reforms that you mentioned to make sure that this kind of thing doesn't happen again, and things that could be done to restore the balance of power that was intended by the founding fathers.
Yeah, I think that's a great series of prescriptions for what needs to be done. I think we need to pursue some of those things. I think there's lots of loose ends, lots of giant Trump-shaped holes, like the Kool-Aid man bursting through the wall. We got to repair all of those holes. I mean, there are a bunch of them, and we got to fix them. We got to get out the spackle and the drywall and patch them up as well as we can and make sure that someone else doesn't come through all those holes, because that's going to be a disaster.
Thanks to the Iowa caucuses, we have a clear leader now. And we can unite and forge together and win this. The turnout in Iowa was described as mediocre for last night's caucuses. Go, team. Go.
I can hear the energy, Democratic Party fever, catch it. I know that you're fully energized now, and I can hear it in your voice. Do we have a winner in Iowa yet? I don't think we do.
No, we don't. No. I'm still looking at the screen. Partial caucus results expected by 5 p.m. They're going to have some of it. We're going to have some by 5, we promise.
We're going to have partial results by 5.
Yeah. Well, you won't be able to draw, they'll be so partial you won't be able to draw any conclusions, but we're bringing them, okay?
Well, you know, when I went to bed last night, I was following the New York Times live caucus results.
Yeah, right.
And at least according to the New York Times, it was showing Pete Buttigieg was in the lead throughout the night, and then it was and then it was Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren rising into second place, with Pete Buttigieg dropping to third.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but now I'm looking at that same page of the live caucus results, and all of the numbers have been stripped away. So I don't know where the New York Times was getting its numbers, but it had me thinking for a good long time, well, wow, Pete Buttigieg really pulled one out in Iowa. And so, but I don't think that's going to be the case. It looks like...
Open your New York Times app, Bob, and see, because maybe they're using
similar software.
See?
Wrong one.
There you go. They have same problem as Iowa. That was definitely a spring. That time it was definitely a spring.
Oh, you know, one more thing that you're not going to hear Donald Trump talk about tonight in the State of the Union. You're not going to hear Donald
Reality,
Trump talk about,
truth,
well, certainly he's not going to talk about the 50 U.S. service members who have now been diagnosed with traumatic brain injury as a result of the Iranian missile strike on those Iraqi bases in retaliation for the hit on Soleimani.
Here are the lies we've been told. Trump initially said no Americans were harmed.
Yeah.
So we started out at zero. And then a few days later, it was 11.
Yeah.
And then a few days after that, it was 34.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was, as Bob just said, 50. And by the way, the Pentagon added to that, there may be more. We'll get back to you.
The ones that were casualties, they're just headaches.
we wouldn't call them casualties. The ones who were injured, he just called headaches, and he called them not very serious. And these were, in fact, traumatic brain injuries, and we're looking at 50 of them.
Yep. And you're certainly not going to hear that tonight. It's just going to be a lot of Donald Trump trying to blow himself. That's exactly.
Well,
I know it got ugly here at the end, didn't it?
Oh, well, it's when wasn't it, Bob? Because I mean, I'm sorry. We've left a foul taste in people's ears. What?
Yes.
I don't even know how that works.
I know.
And I feel badly about that. And maybe next week will be more cheerful. I don't know.
You know what I need to do, Buzz? I need to
be best.
I need to be best. I should.
We all do. I'll try to buck up. Maybe I can have somebody slap me.
Oh, man. Well, we've got a post-mortem show coming up. You have that to look forward to. That's happening right after this music finishes playing, and then we just keep on talking. That is the post-mortem show. It is available for you at our Patreon page, patreon.com/BobSeskaShow, or you can just type in BobSeskaShow.com. I would say use the Patreon app, but I don't think any Democrats are going to be launching for any apps today.
No,
so
wouldn't want anything to go wrong. By the way, it is in the postmortem show that I tell you how I really feel.
Oh, good. Yes, I can't wait for that. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about how Trump continues to funnel campaign cash to himself. We're going to talk about a few words about Rush Limbaugh. I think we're going to talk about Rush Limbaugh up here on the post-mortem show. And some good news about Stephen King. Everyone should be like Stephen King. And we're going to talk about that coming up, too, on the post-mortem. He just did something that I think is very applause worthy. So we're going to give Stephen King a round of applause. Again, BobSeskaShow.com. Meanwhile, Thursday, the best newscast you're going to hear all week. It is Buzz Burbank News and Comment. BuzzBurbank.com, RealmNetwork.com. That's R-E-L-M Network.com. And everywhere you get your podcasts. So make sure to subscribe, 5-star rating and review for Buzz Burbank News and Comment, as well as the entire lineup of Sexy Liberal Podcast Network programs at SexyLiberal.com. All right, that's it for the show. We'll see you on the postmortem show. And, Cliff Schechter on the interview show tomorrow, Wednesday. Cool. See you there, folks. Bye-bye.